Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God as mentioned in Hebrews. The Kingdom of God, the Kingdom of Heaven, all the same. You only see the word Kingdom of Heaven in Matthew. It's a quirk of translation. Matthew was originally written in Aramaic, or in the Hebrew origin language, and so therefore there was a lot of different languages being used at that time. Some people spoke Greek, some people spoke Hebrew, some people spoke Latin, and there's all these different languages in the Greek and the Latin. Even though they're really very different languages, many of the words were the same, but people were multilingual, a lot more so than they are today, because people weren't dumb back then, any dumber than they are today. You haven't evolved. As a matter of fact, today people are actually not as smart as they were back then. I mean, people were calculating the circumference of the earth back then with almost no tools whatsoever. Amazing feat. Amazing. And they knew darn well the world wasn't flat. And it wasn't on the back of a turtle. And they were calculating the orbits of the planets and all that stuff. They knew that. But wisdom and understanding and knowledge go up and down in history. And it doesn't take long that people have lost all the knowledge of their history. And they're going the opposite direction that the generation before or two generations before were going. Well, we've been going the wrong way for about 1,000 years since Satan raised up again in history about 1,000 years ago and gained control over mankind and changed the way we view history. And there's been a constant war and struggle to get back to the truth by society, get back to the ways of God, the straight ways. And there's a constant war to keep you from getting back. And one of the clever ways in which they try to keep you from getting back is they create a chessboard of the dialectic. They divide and conquer. And they divide and conquer by creating lots of different religions, redefining words like religion and faith, redefining words like God. So that when we say God, you think God, whatever it is you think. But that word doesn't mean what you think it means. You keep using it, but it does not mean what you think it means. It can reference the God of heaven. It could reference the God's many that Paul talks about. It can actually even reference you, because Jesus says, is it not written that ye also are gods? Well, are you the God of heaven? Well, why did Jesus say ye also are gods? It is written. Because you don't understand the meaning of the word, you may not understand what Jesus was saying. So the meaning of words is very important, and you often find out what the meaning of words are by the context of what is written. So anyway, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about in chapter 2, verse 1 of Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, meaning heard out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, lest at any time we should let them slip away, leak out, forget. I've seen guys starting to see the truth and starting to even act upon it. But it became a little burdensome, difficult. And so they denied a part of the truth. And then they denied another part. And it was easier to deny the second part because you'd already denied the first part. And they kept denying it and doing something different again, going back to the old ways. You know, kind of like getting reinserted into the matrix. And they will do that. But the condition usually is, I want to forget everything I knew about. I don't want to be troubled by this anymore. And we'll see in our series on cores and congregations that that people actually, because of the twins of conscience, because of the evil that they had done, they try to make amends and they try to go back. But then in the next generation, it becomes a little easier to do evil. And the next generation. Until we get down to our generation, where doing evil is called good. Yeah. Doing evil is called good. That's already, people are saying, oh, they're going to do this someday. Too late. Already done. Already doing it. You're all doing it. You do it on a regular basis. You say, this is good. And I was with a group of people just the other day, and I was watching them, and I could see, but I could see the lie. I didn't have to say anything. I could just see it. And I wasn't the center of the conversation. I wasn't even really in the conversation, but I could hear it. I could see them becoming self-conscious. They cling to that lie. They cling to it. But if you bring a light in by seeing it without judgment, without playing God yourself, the ruling judge yourself, you are gods, but you're only gods over your own actions. And your action should be in conformity to the will of Christ because you are building your house on the rock, right? 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 Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Well, unfortunately, some of you are not. And those I rebuke. And those that are, more power to you. But I don't need to say it because more power will come to you. If you don't do the will of the Father, power will be taken away from you. If you do the will of the Father, power will be given to you. But if you do the will of the Father in order to obtain power so that you can exercise authority over your neighbor, you won't get that power from God. You have to truly humble yourself before the Lord to do His will. Not my will, but His will. And this is what we've been talking about. Not those who say, but those who do. And go listen to the last show if you just tuned in and find out what I mean by that. But in John 9:31, we see, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Repeated over and over again in the Bible. I will not hear you in that day. Go and cry unto the gods that you have chosen for yourself. I will not hear you in that day. I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. Go to any church you want and bend your head and mumble, and God's not going to hear you. You've denied the power because you would not do the will of the Father. So therefore, you're not going to get the power. You're going to want to think you're getting it, but you're not going to get it. John 13:15, for I have given you an example that ye should do. That ye should do as I have done to you. Are we doing that? Are we laying down our lives for our fellow man? Are we sacrificing everything? If we're rich, will we make ourselves poor? That's what Jesus did. Because that's how He loved you. He gave up His wealth. Isn't that what Barnabas did? Sold his property, laid it at the foot of the apostles. So that they could do the work of the Father. Is that what you're doing? Are you laying your wealth at the foot of the ministers of God? Or are you laying your wealth at the ministers of Satan who say, you don't have to do anything, you just have to say these magic words. You just have to think a thought. And you're saved. Don't worry about works. You're not going to be judged according to your works. But Jesus says you are. Jesus says not those who say, but those who do. But He's saying, no, it's only those who say. You don't have to say. You don't have to do. That's Satan. Yeah, that's Satan. Now, your pastor may have been deceived by Satan. I'm not saying your pastor is Satan. We've got to give him a chance to repent, too. Everybody's got a chance to repent. And we want to forgive them ourselves. But, you know, when we forgive people, that's not absolution. You know, this idea that you can forgive sins. You can forgive sins against you. You can't forgive sins against God. If you're a minister of God and someone steals your time by saying, you know, grabs you in a raid and throws you into jail, you know, takes it so you can't see your family and can't do your... God will take that away from that person. He'll take his eyes away from him. He'll take his hearing away. He'll put him in a coma. Because he's not stealing from the minister of God. He's stealing from God if that minister is a minister of God. Now, there's a lot of guys out there claiming to be ministers of God, but they're not taking heed of what Jesus said. They're taking heed of the eschatology they were taught in the seminary. But damnable heresies already crept in there and have been taught to the people, and they're repeating them. Because they want to believe. But they don't believe in what Jesus said, because he said, not those who say, but those who do it. You know, I'm repeating this because it's everywhere. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of God, whether he be bond or free. Remember that Paul said that if you can't be free, don't worry about it. But he wanted you to strive for freedom, but only in a righteous way. So, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you, which is lay down my life. That you, what you doeth is going to make the difference. Not what you think, not what you say, what you doeth. Colossians 3:25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. For God is no respecter of persons. You know, it's, you go be a pastor all you want, but if you're preaching the gospel of saying instead of the gospel of doing, then you're preaching the gospel of Satan instead of the gospel of Christ. Because Jesus was preaching doing and striving and seeking and not coveting your neighbor's goods, preaching the gospel of keeping the commandments. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, receiving your own selves, deceiving your own selves, deceiving your own selves. You see, those guys who said all you have to do is say and you don't have to do, you only believe that because you're deceiving your own self, because over and over and over and over and over and over again, did I say it enough? Because I could go on, because I was just going down the verses here. He's telling you that you have to be a doer of the word. Are you going to do it perfectly? No. Are you going to earn it so that God owes you? No. You're still going to get it by grace because you couldn't do enough. You couldn't do enough. But knowing that you couldn't do enough, you should be doing and striving every day with every energy, every dollar, every thing that you have. You should be dedicating it to God in some way, shape, or form. And how you do that is really the crux. You see, God will hear you if you turn around. But even more important, you will hear God. He will tell you what to do with your time and your stuff and your dollars and whatever. He'll tell you what to do with it. He'll put it on your heart. What to do with it. But you have to be doing like he did, sacrificing yourself. You can't join a church and get into the kingdom. You can't become a minister, because he's no respecter of persons, members, actors. You can't fake this. You got to do it. But ye be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Even so, faith. And this is in James 2:17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone without works. Because faith is probity. It is conviction that compels you to work. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it, shall not to him it is sin. Peter, in 1:17, it says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What happens then if you do that? If you call on the Father, can you do that? How do you call on the Father? How do you, what does it mean to call on the Father? How do you know, if you pray to God, how does he answer you? Do you get a telegram in the mail afterwards? Is that how you hear of the Father? Because he sends you a godogram? How does he do this? How does he inform you of the truth? How does he do that? In that 1 Peter, was it 1:17? He goes on and he says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation receiveth by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, what world? Constitutional order and system of government. Before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Last times? Because those are last times, the end of an age? Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Might be in God. Is it really in God, or how do I know it's in God? Because you say it's in God? He goes on to say, seeing ye have purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. He sees what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I don't see unfeigned love of the brethren. I see you coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of governments that exercise authority. You go to church to feel good, not to do the will of the Father, which is to take care of one another through pure religion, unspotted by the benefits of the world, which are tainted by an exercising authority, because they take from one another. See that you love one another, he goes on to say in Peter, with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It doesn't abide in you. You're still corrupt. You're still doing contrary to the decrees of Christ, and conforming to the decrees of Caesar, which say it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, the good news, is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and whom coming as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up in spiritual houses and a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood, every one of you, priests and kings in your own house, coming together in free assemblies, congregations, as congregants of elders. Not as members of a corporation, but a spiritual corporation. It says to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I can go on and on and on, but do you believeth on him? Not if you're not heeding what he said. If you're not heeding more earnestly what he said, nope, you don't believe in him. I think deep down you may, if you're beginning to hear what I'm saying. Lord be praised that you can hear with his ears, because he's got to give you the ears to hear. You're not going to be convinced by me if you don't recognize what I'm talking about. And you don't act upon it. There's nothing more I can do. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's that darn doeth word again. If you're not a doer, and he's talking works, this is John. We see it in Peter, we see it in John, we see it all throughout the epistles. We see Christ saying it. But somebody's out there telling you, oh no, you don't have to be a doer, just a sayer. Nyet, 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 nyet. That's the evil one speaking. And he'll speak through the mouth of those pudding-palmed pastors that put you in the pews and preach to you falsehoods and lies, because they've been deceived as well. Maybe they would be repentant if they could hear the truth. You're not saved, and he should not be telling you you're saved by what you say. He should be telling you, be doers of the word. Like 1 John 2:29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Are you doing righteousness? Are you a part of a system of pure religion in your churches that makes the word of God to effect because it is based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? Or do you pray to men who exercise authority to be your benefactors by exercising that authority one over the other and forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare? Then you are not listening to John the Baptist, you are not listening to Christ, you are not listening to the apostles, and you are not his little children. You are not saved, and you are not a part of his church. You're part of a church, but it's not his church. And this is so simple. I don't want to get all tangled up in all the eschatologies and these teachings and preachings and interpretations of the Bible that can be argued both ways. I'm not interested in that. I mean, I'll talk about it in the campfire. But if we're going to preach the gospel, we got to get down to the basics. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Probably meaning Christ. It doesn't really say, but who is righteous? It isn't us. It's Christ. But you have been deceived. He said, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You need to see these things. You know, on in verse 12 it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Did you know your brother could be a Muslim? A Saracen? I was trying to think of, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day that if you were in Alabama at one time, blacks was the guys you hated. And if you're in South Texas, it used to be Mexicans. Now everybody in South Texas is Mexican. But it used to be, you know, everybody looked down on the Mexicans. And if you went up to North Dakota, there were hardly any Mexicans or blacks in North Dakota. But you had the Indians. You could hate the Indians. You know, and if you were English, you hated the Irish at one time, and maybe still do. I don't know. Everybody's got to have somebody to hate, but all these people are our brothers. Now, you're supposed to love your enemy, and your brother may be your enemy, but you're still supposed to love him. Now, maybe when we come back, we'll talk about what that means to love him. And how that works, this love of Christ for your brother, even if your brother has made himself your enemy. That's a good topic. We'll talk about that when we come back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking in Hebrews, but we're looking at 1 John 3:10 in order to read Hebrews within the context of the Bible, because you need to read it within the context of the Bible, within the context of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of the kingdom, and within the context of the prophets. It all has to fit. You know, and that's why we go back to Moses, said, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, give drink to thy enemy, he says. Even if thy enemy is thy brother, you're supposed to love him. And in 1 John 3:10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest. The children of God. Yes, all of the Israelites and Judeans were thought of themselves as sons of God. They just weren't begotten sons of God, but they were sons of God. But they could be errant sons of God. They could be disobedient sons of God. But here it talks about the children of God are manifest. In other words, when they're talking about that, they're talking about the character of God is manifest in these children because they're made in the image of God. The children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. No matter what he says, he's not of God. He can say, I'm saved, but that ain't true, because he's not of God, because he's not doing righteousness. And so this is a great blessing to know this now, because if you're not doing righteousness, you know that your salvation is a deception, that where you have been deceived. Despite the fact he said, little children, let no man deceive you, but yet you have. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, and even as he is righteous. You see, but you've been deceived. And so therefore you do unrighteousness, yet you think you are children of God, and you are not. And he adds to this one more statement, one more qualifying statement. For your sake, because as many as he loves, he also rebukes. He wants you to understand this so that you will know when they have preached to you a false salvation. Neither he that loveth not his brother is the children of God. You have to love your brother. Even if your brother is your enemy, you have to love your enemy. Because your brother could become your enemy. And we talk about this in the history of, you know, how brothers, you know, warred against each other. It's when they started making kings, when people started creating these offices of power that exercise authority, they didn't, you know, jump from being free people to having a tyrant in an instant. They gave somebody a little power. You know, they give him some power to tempt him to exercise that power, and then he would want more power. It's kind of like the Lord of the Rings. He gave everybody a little power to rule. He made you a little king over this, and you a little king over that, and you a little king over that, and everybody grabbed that chance to be those little kings, and then he could rule them because they had all made the communion of exercising authority one over the other. So as soon as you do that, if you give power to your pastor to rule over you, to tell you what to think, to become a part of a hierarchy, an hierarchy, you have opened the door to Pandora's box. You cannot do that. You are responsible for your own soul. You need to be that doer of righteousness and seeker of righteousness. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Okay? Write that down. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. You got these pastors who are doing these horrible, wicked things, molesting, what have you, and you say, oh, yeah, but they're a man of God. We need to forgive them. Well, you can forgive them, but you can't absolve his sin. He's doing evil. He hasn't seen God. Oh, but he talks so good. He preaches so good. He makes me feel so good when he preaches. I'm a little more of the fire and brimstone. I'm not going to say you're all going to hell. I say you're in hell already. But I'm preaching that you can repent. You can be changed. You just have to turn around and start striving and seeking to be a doer of righteousness. Stop breaking the commandments as a matter of policy. Start learning what it means to love one another. You see, that love, well, that's what I said we'd talk about a little bit, that love for one another, when you lay down your life to help your neighbor. Now, chances are you're in the congregation, your standard of living might have to change a little bit. You're going to have to learn how to live within your budget. And that means you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to lower that food bill. And that doesn't mean buying more junk food. Probably means buying less junk food. More whole foods, more food preparation. If the wife isn't going to work, she should be fixing the meals from scratch, because scratch is usually cheaper than the pre-made meals. And she should be teaching her daughter how to do that too. No Betty Crocker cake mixes. We used to know a girl who was going to make a cake from scratch, so she went and bought a Betty Crocker cake mix. And my wife says, that's not from scratch. From scratch is from flour. Well, actually, from us. Making it from scratch is a bag of grain. And then you grind it, and you sift it, and you make your cake with the other ingredients. You go out to the chicken coop, and you get some eggs, and you and you make a cake from scratch. You could actually make a cake from chicken scratch. But unfortunately, most chicken scratch today is full of GMO corn. And what are you going to do about it? Well, the fact is your life's style is changing right now, and you don't even have any control over it. You should be gathering together in congregations, gathering together with farmers, helping those farmers produce crops without GMO grains. That's right. CSA, community, church-supported agriculture. That's what you, CSA shouldn't stand for just community-supported agriculture. It should be church-supported agriculture. And you should be drinking whole milk if you drink any milk at all, and not soy milk made from GMO soybeans. You need to be drinking the cow's milk with real fat in it. If you're going to drink milk, you don't have to drink milk, but milk is a good source for some of you. Some of you who need to eat meat because of your ancestry and blood type, you probably need to eat a little bit of dairy too. Dairy is a great way to store protein, and you need protein in your diet. Some of you can get by with a lot less, and you might be able to be a healthy vegetarian, but I don't see a lot of healthy vegetarians. But your lifestyle is going to change. Your life expectancy is going to change because your diet is changing, and you're not even seeing it happen. But if you start coming together and loving one another, your eyes will start being opened, and you'll start seeing these things, and you can prepare for them. But are you going to do it to save yourself, or are you going to do it to save your neighbor? I mean, did Christ come to die to save himself? Or did he come to die that ye might be saved? You see, that's loving one another as he has loved us. Are you ready to do that? That means you're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to start sacrificing something. So if you're living on a budget and you're barely making ends meet, you got to change your budget. And there are ways to change your budget, and the minister should be learning how to do this. I always forget his name. There's a guy on the radio all the time, you know, where he talks about getting out of debt. I think it's like the second or third most popular radio program on the radio. And I have a son who's downloaded a few of the podcasts, and he'll play them while we're working on a roof or something, and so I hear him. But, you know, he talks about cash is king, and so I'm not plugging him. But he talks about getting out of debt. A lot about getting out of debt. About, you know, don't get into student loans, and don't get into credit cards, and don't get into all these other things that bring us into debt. Get away from that. And start having common sense economy, even with Federal Reserve notes. If you can't handle the Federal Reserve notes that are losing value as we speak, you know, and you can't be righteous within this unrighteous system, then why would you expect to be able to be righteous with the righteous mammon? You see, that's what he's talking about. Be friends. Do righteous with the unrighteous. And that, then your eyes will be opened. And you will begin to go back, and creating that alternative system will have a real value. If we were to go back to gold and silver right now, or gold, silver, copper, and other, you know, base metals as a commodity money, not as a stamp coin, but as a commodity money, which would be substance for substance, and it would bring you back to the common law. If you could actually do that right now, and just all that debt that you've created, just go away. And of course, you can't just UCC that out of existence. And, you know, we have a UCC redemption versus Jesus Christ redemption. You can go read that. We've updated that a little bit. It's complete deception. Don't go that route. I shouldn't say complete deception, because they always use an element of truth. But there's enough deception there to get you in a whole lot of trouble. But if you were to start being righteous with wherever you're at, and what you do, and how you deal with one another, and start coming together in congregations, what we call congregations of record, core groups, congregations of record of elders, core, and start doing what the early church was doing, your eyes would be opened up to all the other toxins and poisons that are coming into your system, into your bodies, into your families. Because whole nations are being poisoned now. Whole biospheres are being poisoned and devastated. It's almost like some sort of alien force has come here and convinced us that we should poison ourselves and our children. And we're doing it. And you can't stop it. But if you repent and turn around, the miracles of God can come about and save you and your children's children, because you came together to save one another, like Christ came together. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And that's what he's telling us. In Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, might redeem us, might redeem us from all iniquity. But if you're still doing iniquity, you ain't redeemed, because you're still not doing righteousness. So therefore you are not righteous. You have not repented. You have not turned away from unrighteousness. You are dwelling in unrighteousness, wallowing in unrighteousness, and therefore you cannot be saved. But all you have to do is turn around and start headed back. Now, I would head back in earnest, but you got to do it. You can't just say it. You got to do it. You got to actually come together. That's why we have thelivingnetwork.org. Thelivingnetwork.org. Go there. And that what you'll see, it'll probably redirect you to another page right now, but it might not. Maybe we'll have that all straightened out. And you'll open up a page, and it'll show you how to find people in your local area that are supposedly listening to me. They may not be. They may be, you know, spying out our liberty. They may be trying to use other people, but we have a network, and a network can police itself, because we will start to see who's doing it and who's not. And by their fruits, you will know them. And we will expose those that bear bad fruit. And those that bear good fruit, we will expose them too. But you have to take back your responsibilities. He gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. And when you mention works, they're not going to say, oh, we're not saved by works. They're going to be zealous of good works. You mention good works, they're going to say, yeah. Yeah, let's do good works. Yeah, they'll be zealous. They're not going to be saying, oh, no, no, don't say the works word. The W word. Oh, my gosh. Don't say works. No, be zealous of good works. Because you're a peculiar people. And there's the peculiar people verse shows up a couple times. It's not always translated from the same word. So we could do a study on that. But we're going to go to Revelations 20:12-13. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Eternal life, remember? What must I do to attain eternal life? Thou knowest the commandments, keep them. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. But that's okay, because they're zealous of good works, right? They know it's not just saying, but doing. And they know they'll be saved by grace because they can't do enough. But they are zealous to do what they can do. They are like Christ who come to sacrifice one another. They don't come to church to feel good or just to fellowship. They come to church to do righteousness and to seek out others who are seeking to do righteousness, to forgive those who are not doing righteousness so that they may be forgiven, to give so that they may be given unto, and so that they will learn to keep the commandments and not covet their neighbor's goods, but to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect love of liberty. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The sea. Seas are people. We need those first people to come together. Those saints who come together to sacrifice themselves one for another. So that the seas will give up their dead, which are dead in their minds and their delusions. They cannot see the truth. They are drowned in iniquity. They are immersed in cognitive dissonance. So they cannot even see, cannot even hear. Which were in it, the dead that which were in that sea, the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And of course, nobody has enough works, so they will be saved by grace. But when you mention works, they will be zealous for them. Yeah, what is it we need to do? What could we do? What would we, they would want to hear about works. But you hear whole sections of Christianity. Oh, no, we don't want to be talking about works. Oh, we might actually have to be righteous. We don't have to be righteous. We just have to say we believe. That's a damnable heresy. It's devoid of the Logos, the Word of God. It's not what Christ said. It's not what he said. Over and over again, he's talking. So when you find those few little verses that you may think mean that, that's your private interpretation. It's very clear he has said directly, time and time again, that you need to be doers. If you're not doers, you're not believers. Because believing is not just thinking. Believing is being convicted to the point where you can't do anything but righteousness. And if you are doing unrighteousness, you need more convicting. You need more belief. As you do not, you need help with your unbelief. For if the word, now we'll go over to Hebrews again. We're on verse 2. It's only taken us 2 hours to get here. But, you know, we did verse 1. Now we're doing verse 2 in the last half of the second hour. which we're really in hour seven or something now. For if the word logos, spoken the word, and I say logos here because that's the Greek word, because there are more than one word translated into word. So he says, if the word spoken by angels, messengers, remember the earlier shows, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receiveth a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Recompense of reward. You see, what we often call punishment, that's the reward that we have earned. That is the works that we have been doing, because we've been doing bad things. We get punished. But that punishment is reward. And it's meant to bless us. To say, yeah, smack ya. The dope slap. God smacks ya. Wake ya up. You look around, oh, we're all saved Christians, but the world is going to hell, and the tyrants are rising up, and wars are being created, and people are losing their rights, and people are being abused in the courts. But we're all going to heaven because we believe, because we say we believe in Jesus. Are you crazy? Yeah. Yeah, you're crazy. And you need the dope slap. And you're getting it. Because you're going to find out you're on the wrong side of the equation. Because you're not a doer of the word. You're a sayer only. And you should be having tyrants raise up over you. And you should be oppressed. And you should be under tribute. Because you've been a dope. You've been stupid. In the ways of Christ. In the ways of God. You haven't been loving one another. You've been loving yourself. You've been going to church to feel good. You deserve the dope slap. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that requires that you be a doer of the word in righteous and seeking righteousness in all that you do? That's salvation. That's eternal life. To be a doer of the word, a keeper of the commandments. And be striving, zealous to keep the commandments. Humble, servant to one another. In your congregations, everybody's fighting to, I want to help you. No, I want to help you. No, I want to help you more than you want to help me. That's the only argument we're allowed to have. I want to help you more. Fighting to help each other out. Lowering our personal standard of living so that everybody will be, you know, you wouldn't have the rich taking over if that's the way we are. You wouldn't have, you know, it's not the corporations that are a problem. Certainly not the capitalism that's the problem. It's all you selfish pigs out there trying to practice capitalism. Capitalism's not for pigs. Pigs going around rutting and everybody's stealing from each other. I'm going to get that grain. I'm going to get that root. They're just stealing from each other. So if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Have you heard him in the last couple hours of these shows? He says you got to be a doer. Heareth that. Seek that. Be zealous for that. Till then, may peace be upon your house and may the Lord be with you. So we'll start off here again at verse 3 next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.